Amazon has everything for back to school. Zebra lunchbox? Check. Cool Adidas gear like t-shirts, shoes, and backpacks? Check. Triceratops folders and pencils? Check. Laser cat t-shirts? Check. Get your back-to-school shopping done now at Amazon.com/back-to-school and enjoy free shipping on millions of items. No need to leave your home or hassle with crowds. Amazon.com. No better place to get everything back to school from A to Z.
Straight out of Austin, Texas, it's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hear it here first on Second Thought.
This is episode 93 of On Second Thought. I'm Cedric Golden with the Duck Kirk Bowles. Our little podcast is brought to you by Hook'em.com and our friends at Bud Light. I'm rolling solo in the studio right now, but a little later going to have Danny Davis come in and talk a little UT football and baseball. But first, my condolences, Kirk. They really treat you badly here at the Statesman, sending you off to the Siberia that is the Masters in Augusta. You've got to be there for a week or so. Sorry about that. How you holding up?
Yeah, it's a dirty job. You know, somebody's got to do it, you know. So, but I appreciate your commiseration and empathy, and I'll see if I can muddle through the week.
Yeah, I hope you can. It's rough out there, I'm sure, in Augusta. But before you got to Augusta, you stopped off in Atlanta and took in a little MLB, I hear?
Yes, I got to see three games. The Atlanta Braves took the series from the Philadelphia Phillies, unveiled their new mascot in their second-year stadium, and the Braves looked really good. So, but you know what? You know what, Ted? It was fun. I enjoyed it. But it's a lot more fun sitting in the press box and sitting in the stands, you know.
You're just conditioned, sir. You don't know how to be a fan anymore.
50 degrees. You wouldn't believe the lines at these concession stands. I mean, I don't know how the fans do it. I really don't.
They're fans, Duck. I mean, that's what they do.
I guess so.
Fanatics. So, but I'm glad.
And I know while we're here, I know you were slumming it at the Final Four, you know, speaking of tough assignments. So I sympathize with you, too.
Quit trying to drag me into your private hell. What about your Villanova? Oh, you picked one right. You got the one seed. Way to go, Kirk.
Isn't that the point?
That's kind of the point. Before we talk about the tournament, which I've got some bitter feelings about. You're at Augusta. They're starting today, already teed off, and you really think Tiger Woods is going to get it done? I saw in your crazy prediction that you had Tiger will not win the Masters. That's not a crazy prediction. 80 players. It's not a crazy prediction. You're slipping.
Vegas says he's going to win.
That's not true. See, can I school you to what Vegas does, Kirk?
Well, I know. You're Mr. Gambler, so go ahead.
Yes, I am. I know a little bit about the game. So Vegas installed those friendly odds, 12-1 Tiger to win, because there's going to be a boatload of money that's going to come in on Eldrick Tiger Woods. And Vegas is more than happy to take the field in that bet. All Vegas needs is for one of 79 other men to win that tournament. Somebody not named Tiger to win that tournament. And Vegas is fine. Tiger.
So you're saying he's not the favorite?
I don't think he's going to win.
I don't either. Those are two different things.
And if I'm running a casino, I will put those odds up there, and hopefully there's going to be 5 or 6 million people that think that they can put $100 on Tiger Woods and turn it into 1,200, and then Tiger can finish second, and they get nothing. Right. I love those odds for Vegas. I love them. Great odds for Vegas.
So, but let me ask you, back to the point, you don't think he's going to win either?
No, I don't. I think he could finish top 10. Let's just to say, Tiger Woods hasn't won in a very long time. Tiger Woods
has
put together some nice golf here lately. He hit an eagle on a practice round with Freddie Couples the other day. Great.
Yeah, hit two of them on Tuesday.
And hit two of them.
Playing with Phil Mickelson.
I know. Isn't that cool that they put him and Lefty together? That was kind of cool. Lefty set it up. Lefty set that round up. These guys, longtime nemesis. And I think that people like Phil Mickelson recognize how good Tiger is for golf. Did you get to see any of that practice round? Were you there for those people lined up 20 deep just to see him practice?
Just at the start of it, and I guarantee you on Tuesday, Phil was just gushing about Tiger. And as you said, they used to be bitter adversaries. I mean, they would just take it down to the wire. And, you know, somebody said if there was no Tiger Woods, you know, Phil might have won 9 or 10 Masters instead of just 3. And he said, and even Phil said, he was very self-deprecating. You know, I think you and I both like Phil. He said, well, that may be true, but you know what? Maybe the presence of Tiger drove me to be the best that I could. Maybe I wouldn't have that drive without Tiger Woods. And he even gave Tiger credit, as he should, for the prize money that has soared, the TV ratings. And he said, I guarantee you, Tiger benefited more than I did. So he was very self-deprecating, and it was all lovey-dovey on Tuesday in their practice. And he said, I learned something from Tiger. You know, Tiger practiced 9 holes one day, and then 9 holes the next. But I always practiced 18 holes each day and kind of wore myself out. So, you know, I learned something from Tiger. So, but who can't learn something from Tiger? Even Jordan Spieth said, you know, he studied Tiger's historical moments here at Augusta. So, but bottom line, I agree with you. I think he can be top 10, top 15, but I just think that lack of competitive edge and the lack of repetitions may cost him, you know, some mistakes somewhere on the course and probably lead to somebody else wearing the green jacket.
I just think it's cool that Lefty's giving him that respect, and I saw Justin Thomas go, oh man, I was 9th grade, 10th grade when he was winning every other weekend, and we all wanted to be him. And so one of the guys said, man, I can't wait to compete with him, and I can't remember who it was. I was listening on SportsCenter, and an old school guy, it may have been Rory or someone, or Sergio goes, you don't want to compete against Tiger. You have no idea what you're getting into because you, not only are you competing against the man, you're competing against the Tiger Woods legend. And on Sunday when he's in his red shirt and those black pants, all of a sudden it might not be so fun anymore if you're in that final group with the big cat.
But for those of us who are covering it or watching on TV, boy, what a great sight that would be to see Tiger in contention on Sunday afternoon. It wouldn't get any better than that.
What do you think about Jordan Spieth's chances? When we last saw him at the Dell match play, he looked very skinny, very frail, and very fragile mentally. Wasn't playing well. Do you think he can pull it together for one weekend and make a realistic run at a golf course that he's played really well at in his early career?
Well, you know, I think he can, Sid. I wouldn't give him the 2 cents after the Dell match play tournament. You know, he didn't even make it out of pool play. Patrick Reed just really beat him on Friday, and Jordan almost beat himself. But, you know, he looked so good last week at the Houston Open, finished in 4th. And he said, man, I didn't even look at the scoreboard. You know, I just treated that like, okay, I'm in the lead, and I'm playing for the lead in his putting game. Started to come back. You know, he's got one of the best short games and putting in the whole PGA Tour. So, you know, and I asked him on Tuesday, I said, you know, was that enough? Do you think it's fixed? And he said, well, I know I'm not there, but I'm getting closer. And I don't know if I'm going to get there this week or if it's 2 weeks or it's a year, but I'm going to get there again. And my sense is that He will do well here. I don't think he's going to win. It's just like Tiger, only playing 5 tournaments in the last 3 years. Probably didn't have enough reps. And Jordan has struggled this year. Even Bono, he said he spent almost all of December in bed and lost some weight and energy and stamina. So I'm looking for somebody else, somebody like that, Justin Thomas, number two in the world. That's my pick.
Yeah, that's my pick.
And I like Lloyd McIlroy. You know, he needs the Masters to complete the Grand Slam. So, you know, and nobody's talking about Dustin Johnson. He's just number one in the world. You know, he maybe hurt his back on the eve of last year's tournament and had that withdrawal. So there's so many good players and good players that are playing well. Bubba Watson has won twice in the last 6 weeks. So he's won twice here at Augusta. So it's just a lot of big names playing well, a lot of the young playing well. That should make for a really competitive week.
Well, Tiger's going to be teeing off with Mark Leishman and Tommy Fleetwood, 9:42 Austin time. Jordan Spieth is going to be teeing off at 12:49 p.m. with Alex Noren from Sweden and the South African Louis Oosthuizen. So that's an early day golf for you coming up here really shortly, and is at the time of this taping. And what about the UT guys that are also in it besides Spieth, Jonathan Vegas, Dylan Fratelli, and Doug Gim? You did a story on Doug Gim. What was that like?
Well, he's an impressive kid. You know, he grew up in outside Chicago, Illinois, and his dad was born in Korea, and he was in the military for a long time. He moved to the States and married another woman from Korea who was in, I think, Venezuela, and then moved to Chicago when they met. And he ended up making himself kind of a golf pro, a golf teacher, and he taught Doug Gim how to play starting when he was 6 years old. And he's just gotten better and better. And his team's a very good ball striker, said. He's not dynamic, I don't think, in any phase of the game, but he's real solid in all the phases, a little bit like Jordan Spieth. He's not a bomb off the tee. So this is his first Masters. He got here by finishing runner-up to the U.S. Amateur last summer, to Doc Redman from Clemson. So it'll be interesting to see how he does here in his first year.
Well, before we move on to hoops, I'm going to put you on the spot here, big guy. Who finishes higher, Spieth or Woods?
I'm going to home it up and go Jordan Spieth.
Oh, my God. You are so obvious.
You're going with Tiger, huh?
Big UT homer. Oh, my God.
Are we seeing a wager? Is a wager coming on?
You know what? Chinese food on the next time that we're there. Where Tiger finishes
Jordan
ahead of Spieth, yeah, when Jordan misses the cut. If one of them misses the cut, that's double. How about that?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, if one of them misses the cut,
okay,
it's double. But whoever finishes the highest, the other guy has to pay for lunch. I like it.
Okay. Well, I told Jordan, you better get his game together. This is really pressure now.
Oh, yeah, big-time pressure. So you get Villanova right. Good for you. Good for you. You and the rest of the world.
How'd your champion do? Wait a minute. No rest of the world. Yours was, who was it, Arizona?
I had Arizona in the paper. Yes, I did. And
in the paper, I only thought you were one of those multiple bracket guys. So,
the one thing about the newspaper bracket that I hate is you got to do it on deadline. We've got like 30 minutes to an hour to fill out a bracket because we want to get it to graphics. But once you get home and you're going to do an office pool, you get to take a look at some things and formulate your strategy for when you're going to, you know, what upset you might want to pick or whatever. So.
And so who was in your money bracket as a champion?
I had Kansas, and they ran into a 3-point shooting juggernaut. And
sounds like you were 0-for-2.
Yeah, I was 0-for-2. I did get 3 of the 4 Final Four teams right, but I was 0-for-2. And Jay Wright said it was one of those nights when you're making that many threes, and it wasn't really the guards. You know, DiVincenzo was quiet against Kansas. It was those big guys. It was Spellman and it was Pascal. Those guys were knocking down outside shots. And It's 22-4, 5 minutes into that game. I mean, that's just ridiculous how well they played. And they're so far and away the best team in the country this year. Virginia got a lot more pub. But as far as athleticism and ability to score the ball, and it's a make-or-miss business, Duck, Villanova was far and away the best team. I think that they might be back next year, even though Jalen Brunson's probably going to be in the NBA. I think they have a really good chance to come back because they're so deep.
Yeah, I do, too. They get Booth back and Spellman and DiVincenzo. And well, what did you get, 31 off the bench Monday night?
In 37 minutes, yeah. Yeah, and
they won with Brunson out with four fouls for a bunch of the second half, and it didn't even faze them.
No, it didn't matter.
I just think they're such a complete team. They play so well without the ball, and they play all phases of the game. And, boy, so much confidence. And,
yeah, you mentioned Virginia. Virginia is such a paper number one.
Villanova was the true number one all year and played like it. And how about this stat? Jay Wright hasn't lost back-to-back games in 5 years.
Oh, my God. Wow.
That's a model of consistency, isn't it?
That's a model of excellence is what that is. And, he's flipped the script. He doesn't have to do it with one-and-dones. He's got program guys, five guys on this team, red-shirted for one reason or another. So that means for 1 year, mm-hmm. these guys got to practice and watch. And learn the system, DiVincenzo being one of those guys. I just think it's the new model. You look at the teams in the Final Four, there aren't any one and dones on any of those teams. The experienced teams seem to figure out a way. Even Loyola Chicago, a senior laden team, showed up with experienced basketball players and took down some giant opponents. I think that it's going to be tough to duplicate what Jay Wright's doing. He's got a Golden State Warriors-type offense, and he's got guys that have bought into the program who are willing, including Jalen Brunson, who's the number 20th-ranked player by ESPN coming out of high school. People thought he'd be a one-and-done, but here he is just finishing up his junior season. When you're able to find those kind of guys, Duck, and I talked to longtime basketball writer Hoops Weiss, and he was like, when you can find program guys and guys with a chip on their shoulder that aren't getting all the accolades, you can build something, and that's what Jay Wright did in Villanova.
Very, very selfless team. And the best compliment I could give Villanova, I think if you started the NCAA tournament today, I think they would win it again. And I can't give bigger praise. You know, so much fluky stuff happens. And, you know, Loyola might have been the first team out, and Arizona might be in the Final Four. But I really think that's how good they were. They were clearly the best team, head and shoulders above everybody else. And I think if you started today, we'd be crowning a national champion again this week.
And, you know, even better than that, Duck, Jay Wright told us on Monday night, he says, I'm not going anywhere. I love my job. It's my hometown. I'm a college basketball coach. He's got his own little private empire up there in Philly Township, and he's not looking to go to a UCLA or a Notre Dame or somewhere like that. He is the gold standard. His program is right now, and he's shown that there's more than one way to win a championship. And his way is working, and for those who are looking to emulate him, try to imitate him, good luck. It's easier said than done, sir.
Well, I love that kind of loyalty, and I will say this. You remind me of you very much. You have the same kind of wardrobe and just a clothes horse, you know, and both of you could be men's models.
I really don't think he shops at Men's Warehouse, though, Duck. I'm going to think that he's probably has a tailor. But I'll take the compliment, sir. I know I strike a good figure in a suit. I know how to shop off the rack with the best of them. Though it should be said for our listeners out there, there are three or four suits in the Golden Closet that are tailored. But I did catch a sale on those, too.
And I know that, but let me say, don't spend all your money on clothes. Save some of that money to pay off your Chinese lunch.
We'll see about that, dude. We will see about that. Duck, I know you're working hard out there. Y'all check out his columns on mystatesman.com. He's also sending in a little postcard every day, giving a little personal touch of what's going on at Augusta. Have fun out there, bro, and we'll see you when you get back.
All right, buddy. Good talking to you.
All right, man. Later. We are back with a special friend of the podcast, Danny Davis, who probably leads our staff in On Second Thought appearances, much to the chagrin of the diva, Suzanne Halliburton. Move it or lose it. Let's talk a little bit of, we're going to talk a little bit of baseball, but first, you've been going to these spring football practice, D. Davis, these practices. It's the spring, and everybody loves them, some spring football. Is it too early to gauge if a turnaround is imminent? Is 7-6, will that lead to 8-4, 9-3? You're looking at me with some skepticism. Share it with our listeners.
Yeah, I mean, you know, spring football is something. You know, it's a long time between, you know, the last play in the Texas Bowl and the first play at Maryland. So, I mean, get something for the fans, the media, everyone kind of talk about. But, you know, it's really nothing football. You know, first part of it's all in shorts and, you know, some pads, and there's some light hitting, and, you know, they're getting going a little bit more now. But in the end, what does it mean? I mean, I'll be a lot more, you know, optimistic or pessimistic about Texas's chances once we see them in August or early September during that trip to the D.C. area. But, I mean, this team, there's a lot of question marks on this team. I mean, there's reason for fans to feel that Tom Herman has things kind of moving in the right direction. But, I mean, you just look at the roster. I mean, offensively, you could point to any position. I can give you two or three guys that could start. I mean, if we mapped out a starting lineup right now, there's no guarantee that once a conference play starts, those are the starters that are going to be out there. I mean, are there, you know, they lost a lot of talent. I mean, the NFL draft, which we'll be, you know, starting to focus on in a couple weeks, is going to have a lot of Longhorns listed, and there's going to be some guys, to, you know, signing free agent deals. So all in all, you know, there's some gaps there. I don't know if you can say for certain there are any all-conference players on this team right now. So there's going to be some question marks. I mean, they have talent, but do they have the right talent at the right places, and do they know exactly, can they define some starters and define some roles before the season starts, or is this something that's going to happen as the season goes? And, you know, those questions have to be answered.
And you look at it, you lose Connor Williams.
Yep.
You lose Holton Hill.
Mm-hmm.
You lose Deshaun Elliott.
He's gone.
You lose Malik Jefferson.
No longer there.
You lose a lot. You lose Puna freaking Ford. I mean, you lose your best players.
Or even some guys like, you know, Antoine Davis and, you know, Jason Hall, who are nice.
Those
senior
are the OG
defensive
guys.
Backs who, you know, had defined roles and played them very well for a period of time. So, I mean, there are lots of pieces they have to replace, and they do have talent. You know, Charlie recruited well late, and Tom Herman was pretty high on, you know, this 2018 recruiting class, and some of those 2017 kids played out of their mind, and they're going to have another year under their belt. But still, you know, there's some pieces that we need to find out if those pieces fit in the right places before we can start proclaiming that this is a 9-win team or a Big 12 title contender.
And you say you look around and you see two or three guys that could start at any position. Is that a depth, great depth thing, or is that an uncertainty thing, which is two different things?
I mean, it depends on if you're a Texas fan, you know, you guys have great depth. You know, if you're an Oklahoma or A&M fan, I mean, that means you have a bunch of guys and know a lot of uncertainty. So, I mean, there's a lot of ways to look at it. Like we said, you know, on paper, this is a lot of talent, a lot of stars, a lot of kids who can play that, you know, I'm sure a lot of other teams would love to have. But until, you know, you can kind of make things happen, I mean, what exactly do you have? I mean, you need to eventually, I mean, you can't have four quarterbacks. Eventually, you need to settle on one. And
can't have four.
Kind of move forward, whether it's Sam or Shane. I don't think either the freshmen are going to be in the mix. But eventually, you got to move forward. And it's nice to have some depth at some positions. But as we found out last year, it's kind of with the wide receivers, you know, sometimes too much depth can be a problem. You know, and guys disappear, and you don't really have that standout guy. So, well, we'll see.
When you talk about the quarterbacks, and that's the elephant in the room, man, Sam Ehlinger, alpha dog, Tom loves him. I know for Tom loves Sam Ehlinger because he's a take-charge type. He's a bell cow type who wants to be a leader, who wants to be the stud horse on that team. But sometimes Sam can't save himself from Sam. Goal line interceptions at West Virginia, fumbling on the goal line at in L.A., those kind of things. The Oklahoma State. The throw it up for grabs, jump ball when all you needed was a field goal to tie it. Those kind of plays to me typified the good and the bad of Sam Ehlinger. He wants it. He's confident. He's not afraid. As evidence, hits Armonte Foreman in the corner of the end zone, and we think the Texas is about to get out of there with a win, but the defense broke down against Sam Darnold. But then you have those moments where he's just, I mean, he makes some idiotic plays trying to be a hero. Do you think that there's maturation coming, or is it one of those things? We see guys in the pros that do some of the same things over and over every year, and it's just who they are. Do you think that Sam Ehlinger can become a playmaker slash game manager? Or is this just one of those things where you just kind of live and die with what he's going to do? I think the latter. I think he's always going to be Sam, and I always see him as a riverboat gambler, and there's going to be games where he wins, and there's going to be games where he loses. And what happens when you have that, Danny, is you get mediocrity.
Yeah, I'm willing to chalk up some of those plays that happened last year as just a freshman who is, you know, a year removed from high school, and those plays worked at Westlake High School when you were playing Aikens or Austin High or, you know, some inferior competition. But you can't always throw things up and just kind of pray for the best. And I think, you know, with another year in the system and a year of growing and a year of watching yourself in film, and I'm sure Tom Herman has told him everything we're telling him right now, probably using more colorful language. So I think he's I think he's probably learned a lot, and I think, you know, he'll probably make better decisions as a sophomore. To be honest, I'm more concerned about that Kansas State play where he decided to completely run over a defensive back.
As big as he is.
Or, you know, Texas State on that reversed play to Armonte Foreman when Sam is out there as the lead blocker. I'm more concerned of him, you know, maybe being too aggressive. And I know that the team loves that, but, you know, sometimes as a quarterback, you know, they need you for the entire game. And I'd be a little bit concerned with him maybe getting hurt, you know, trying to do a little bit too much out there. But, you know, he has a chance to, you know, be something special. I think, you know, we all love Sam. I mean, Sam's been, you know, in our lives for a long time, going back to the Westlake days. We've sold a lot of newspapers writing about
Sam. He's a good copy, Danny. He's a good copy.
Good quote, good kid. You know, comes from a good family, and, you know, we've been able to watch him grow up. So, I mean, I think he'll do fine. He's still, you know, the whole, you know, being a gambler thing, it works out. You know, when you're Johnny Manziel, you know, there was a lot of times Johnny made very stupid plays, but, you know, he had Mike Evans to go, you know, bail him out, or sometimes
still waiting on a Mike Evans to show up here in Texas.
Sometimes, you know, they managed to find the end zone. So, I mean, if it works, it works. If it's bad, you know, people are throwing stuff and wondering why he's the quarterback, and the backup becomes a lot more popular. So we'll see. We'll see if he can cut down on some of the mistakes, and, you know, maybe some of those gambles will pay off. But, you know, that USC game is always going to be, you know, in the back of people's mind. I mean, there were some passes there that he shouldn't have made, but they worked out because, you know, Colin Johnson made a great catch, or Armonte Foreman sneaked open in the end zone. And, you know, then, you know, people are a lot more excited about you when those gambles pay off. So I guess we'll just have to see, you know, in Maryland. And who knows, maybe he's not even the starting quarterback in Maryland. Maybe Shane Buechele comes on late. But it's going to be – I'm sure Sam, over the course of his career, is going to have a lot of head-scratching moments and a lot of highlight reel moments. And you're just going to take the good with the bad and, you know, hope that maybe the head-scratchers get toned down a little bit.
You know what, and I think they will. As a you know, he's going to be a sophomore. He's going to have another year under his belt. You mentioned Shane Buechele coming off the off-season hip surgery. You've been able to watch, 20 minutes or so of each practice. I know you've zeroed in on Shane. Is he moving around pretty good? I haven't been to any practices because of all this hoops we've been covering, but how's he looking in the brief little snapshots that you've seen of him?
I mean, he's looked fine. I mean, the drills they have him out there, it's not like they're having him go through agility drills for us. But, you know, he's just out there making throws. Typically, he tends to be the second one out there behind Sam, which I guess should be expected because Sam's gone through an off season. And, you know, once again, Sam's kind of the alpha dog in the room. But, you know, they're also working him a lot with the ones. It's not like there's a clear 1-2 split, and, you know, Shane's out there working with the freshmen and walk-ons. I mean, you know, those, you know, the secondary receivers are being left to the actual two freshman quarterbacks. So they're both getting their work with the ones and the twos, and we'll have to see, you know, once actual, you know, August comes around, because I think, you know, both of them will get probably equal reps, I'd assume, during the spring game, and we'll both get to kind of judge them under more adverse situations, although no one's going to be touching them in the spring game. But, you know, that's always going to be Shane's biggest issue, too. And, you know, he was hurt a lot last year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of that was hard luck, and some of that was just, you know, a tough play here or there. And he showed a lot of grit, you know, kind of getting, especially like getting through the Maryland game, getting through the Iowa State game when he was clearly hurt. And, you know, probably wanted to come back in the Texas Bowl when he got hurt, too. But, you know, injuries are going to be concerned with him going forward.
Yeah, for sure. Before we hit on baseball, you went to Pro Day. Puna Ford, there are some issues that happened at Pro Day that I'm not even going to get into.
Nobody cares about our problems.
No one cares. You are so right. No one cares about the guys that get in for free. We're in the building where they would love to be. And if we are a fly on the wall, even if that wall's 50 yards away, we're still got it better than most.
Yeah.
That's what people think. So, Puna Ford didn't get invited to the combine, and I went to the combine and I watched some defensive tackles work out. I did see the Longhorn Network special. I saw some Puna Ford on there. Stud horse, but he's not 6'2", 350. How did he look on Pro Day? I saw what my eyes told me on television, but you were there up close, even from your faraway vantage point. What did you think of Puna's performance at Pro Day?
I mean, he did good. I mean, the numbers stacked up favorably to the, you know, defensive linemen, defensive tackles that got invited to the combine. I think Brian Davis wrote a pretty good story that ran in last Thursday's newspaper about his day and kind of what he did and kind of comparables. I mean, also, you know, I think scouts are probably going to be a lot more impressed with seeing his film last year, knowing that he was the Big 12's best defensive lineman than, you know, what he could bench press or what he could run in the 40. Because, you know, Puna Ford is never running 40 yards in a NFL game. So I think Puna's going to get drafted. He's probably going to be a third day pick, I'd assume, based on, you know, most mock drafts I'm seeing and stuff like that. But he'll get a chance to prove himself, which I think that's probably at this point all he wants. And, you know, he'll get a chance to prove himself, you know, kind of do what he did at Texas, kind of come on and, you know, you have a chance to become that star, that, you know, overlooked star that everyone, you know, that catches a lot of people by surprise. And, you know, people back here in Austin may not be surprised if he finds success in the NFL, just because, you know, while he's not the most talkative fellow in the world, he, you know, spoke a lot on the field, and, you know, his play did the talking for him. And, you know, they're going to miss him at Texas next year, and, you know, we'll see if he's able to correlate that success into the professionals.
You know, and there's nothing, you can't put a price tag on desire, effort, hunger, and talent. He has them all.
Yep.
He's got a little bit of everything. He's going to be driven. He's the only thing that's working against him is physical measurables, and so many NFL players have overcome that, and I believe that Puna Ford will have a long NFL career. Real quickly, baseball's 19-12. David Pierce got a little roll going, a little three-game win streak, avoided the sweep at K-State. And then you beat A&M Corpus and McNeese State. Baylor coming in here, three-game set Friday, 6:30, Saturday, 4 o'clock, and Sunday, 1:30 p.m. Beginning of the season, we thought the pitching staff would be a major storyline. It has been. What's going on with those starters, and why hasn't it clicked all the way just yet?
And the starters have just been, I mean, they've been inconsistent at times. I mean, there have been weeks, I mean, Nolan King and Blair Henley both won a conference Pitcher of the Week award, and Nolan was probably robbed during the first week of the season when he came down and shut down ULL and didn't win it because I think a Baylor pitcher struck out a bunch of Houston Baptist batters, which was silly on the surface. But, you know, there's also been weeks where they have struggled, and granted, some of that has been because they've been playing really good competition, you know, the Stanfords, the Arkansas, you know, going to LSU. But, you know, they need to find some consistency in that rotation because their schedule is going to get tougher. Nothing against the Kansas and Oklahoma State and Kansas State that they've played, but, you know, TCU and Texas are still waiting, and, you know, Oklahoma is not going to be a joke of a team either. So, I mean, they need their starting pitching to you know, perform well because their bullpen has been shaky all year, and they need to, you know, try to, you know, they can't be getting down, you know, 3-0, 4-0, because I don't know if their bullpen is going to be able to, you know, keep them in games at points, because, you know, someone like Bo Ridgeway, who was a preseason All-American to some, has struggled a lot this year, and there's some other arms who have looked, they've been good at times. I mean, they performed really well in the McNeese State game on Monday, and during some stretches they've done fine, but there's also been times where, you know, you've handed the game over to them and it's kind of imploded because they've been missing some arms, dealt with some early injuries, dealt with some people, you know, adjusting. They don't have Chase Sugar back there, who was just incredible at the end of last season. Mm-hmm. That was a really reliable weapon, but he's a starter now, so they don't have him in that 8th inning, 7th inning role anymore. So,
What's McGuire giving him, Andy McGuire?
And McGuire, I mean, he's kind of the feel-good story of the season. I mean, not on the team the last 2 years because of various reasons, and, you know, came back. He's been a nice – he's probably their closer right now. I mean, closed on Monday against McNeese State, also started in right field, so they've given him some starts in the outfield, while Austin Todd's kind of nursing a thumb injury, hit a home run during the Kansas State trip, and so mm-hmm. he's provided them a little bit of you know, a little bit of pop, both, you know, in the field, at the plate, and on the mound. So we'll see if you know, he kind of locks down that closer role, or if, you know, Bo Ridgeway is kind of able to work his way back. David Pierce said on Monday that, you know, Bo's still a factor. That was before he gave up 3 runs last night in Corpus. But we'll see if, you know, he can kind of find, because he was a really good closer last year. So
oh, yeah.
If he can kind of find that magic that he had last year. And, you know, it's also only April. So, I mean, they need him to be pitching well in May and June. It wouldn't matter if he was pitching great now and then, you know, self-imploded down the stretch. They need him pitching good once the tournaments and the postseason start.
And it's definitely a marathon and not a sprint. And the schedule makers were kind to Texas, giving them those three series, all three very winnable series. Didn't get it done at K-State, but 6-3 going into this Baylor series. Offensively speaking, is David getting enough from the, you know, from the starting lineup? Because we thought the pitching would be a little bit better. So what's happened is they've been a little bit tested more because the offense hasn't always been there. Who are you looking to step up in this next third of the season?
Well, I mean, they've mixed and matched their lineup throughout the season. I think they kind of have a consistent lineup they like to play. They've just been kind of messing with the order. You know, Cody Clemens has just been great this year. I don't know if they're going to finish high enough for him to be, you know, if there is a, you know, Big 12 player of the year, mm-hmm. if he's going to be placed in that conversation. But, I mean, he has been incredible for them, a lot better than I think people may have thought he would have been. But, you know, he's pretty much essentially replaced Casey.
Mm-hmm. He's been a stud.
As the star of that lineup. Zach Zuby has been a very good find. Mm-hmm. You know, coming off his redshirt season, Ryan Reynolds is starting to hit better. You know, some of the guys they had coming in, you know, the Duke Ellis, you know, he's been, you know, they've moved him to the top of the order. He's been playing all right. Tate Shaw's been really good throughout the year, too. You know, they need some players to start hitting a little bit better. You know, DJ Pachinski, Michael McCann, whoever's a catcher, they probably need a little bit more production out of that spot offensively. You know, first base is, you know, Jake McKenzie, love the kid, smartest guy on the team. Going to be, you know, he's going to be making a lot of money as an engineer
one year.
You know, he's in there to play defense because he's mm-hmm. a really good defender. But offensively, you know, that's kind of a hole in their lineup, and we're going to see if he can, you know, maybe come up with a couple of clutch hits down the stretch. So, you know, top of the order I think is fine. Bottom of the order probably needs to produce a little bit more, but, you know, we didn't expect, you know, they scored 10 runs at Kansas State mm-hmm. On Friday night, had, you know, all those, you know, two out, you know, clutch hits and runs, and, you know, that would not have been the case last year. So, I mean, they're better offensively than they were last year, and they've found a little bit of pop, and we'll see if they can, you know, maybe get more consistency throughout the lineup. David Hamilton, you know, they've kind of moved him around in the order. He's such a threat speed-wise that mm-hmm. you probably need to get him towards
just
the
get
top.
Get on base, yeah.
Get on base. But, you know, they have some talent on the offense. We'll see if they can, you know, mix that with their pitching and start winning some more games.
And last thing, they dismissed Joe Baker. What happened there, and what can you tell us about that situation?
I mean, they called it a team rules. You know, talking out the game, you know, David Pierce seemed to make it seem like it was some academic issues. And mm-hmm. You know, Joe Baker was never going to start for this team. He was never going to be a star again. I mean, he had a good freshman and sophomore year, but, you know, sometimes if you're, you know, not starting or not starting on a team. You need to get your act together. And
you get bored, too.
You can, you know, people can make an example out of you. And it's probably a message that David needed to send to his team. And it's a good lesson for, you know, this team to have. I mean, this team also has a lot of smart kids on it. Like, you know, I just mentioned Jake McKenzie, and he's not the only engineer on that roster. So, you know, there are a lot of players getting their work done in the classroom, but, you know, apparently there are some that are not. And those players that are not need to get their acts together, and they need to behave during the season because, you know, this is a team, and your team needs you, and you can't be out here making stupid mistakes during the middle of a baseball season. And, you know, David also said, you know, essentially that, you know, Joe needs to kind of reprioritize his life and kind of figure out what's important. And that's what all these young men need to do because, you know, the real world's coming. And as all of us older folks know, you know, the real world's a tough place. And, you know, if you can't cut it in college, it's going to be a big slap in the face to you when you get out.
Well, Dan, we appreciate it, man. Texas Longhorns play Baylor on Friday. First pitch 6:30 p.m. Saturday 4:00, and then this three game series finale will end at 1:30 p.m. First pitch on Sunday. Dan, we appreciate it, man, and we'll see you soon.
Yes, sir.
That will do it for episode 93 of On Second Thought. Got to thank Danny Davis for stopping into the dungeon to lend a hand. For the Duck, Kirk Bowles, who's in Augusta spending our money, I'm Cedric Golden. We'll see you later.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com. Join Ced and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.
Amazon has everything for back to school. Zebra lunchbox? Check. Cool Adidas gear like t-shirts, shoes, and backpacks? Check. Triceratops folders and pencils? Check. Laser cat t-shirts? Check. Get your back-to-school shopping done now at Amazon.com/back-to-school and enjoy free shipping on millions of items. No need to leave your home or hassle with crowds. Amazon.com. No better place to get everything back to school from A to Z.